This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. The Vigil of the Annunciation of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. It is a good thing to regularly go into Scripture and see the theological nuances in any given text. But every now and then it's good to step back and see exactly in a more forest of the trees concept that we see in Scripture. The Annunciation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ gives us one of the prayers that we say most often, and that is the angelic salutation, also known as the Hail Mary or the Ave. For those of us who recite the Rosary regularly, you say that prayer over and over and over again. We should be saying that prayer in addition to our rosaries throughout the day. We should be saying the Angelus three times a day at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 in the evening. This angelic salutation, we never want to lose sight of the forest for the trees when it comes to this prayer, the Hail Mary. There are so many people in the world who call themselves Christians who criticize to the point of actually disdaining the Hail Mary as a prayer. I always get a kick out of it when I hear things like, "We don't say that prayer." And I always like to respond, "Well, what other portions of Scripture don't you say?" Because that's what it is. They'll look at the Our Father and say, "Oh, that's great to say that because Jesus gave us that prayer. An angel gave us the Hail Mary." When we look at the salutation and you see the one who spoke these words, "Hail, full of grace," you know, you got to step back and say, first of all, who's saying them? God the Father entrusted to an angel this greeting, this salutation. It's not like I'm sure there's people out there saying, "Constantine wrote that prayer in the fourth century," you know, something silly like that. An angel gave us that prayer. It comes down from on high. It comes from one who abides in the heavenly realm, sent by God the Father himself to teach us this prayer. And never could our Blessed Mother have been addressed more honorably. These angels, the seraphim who go about the throne of grace 24/7, to use our terminology, never ceasing to say, "Holy, holy, holy." This one who has, before the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, for all eternity, reigned and glorified, this one who is going to come and become flesh for us, this same angel who does the Trinity obedience and obeisance looks at the Blessed Mother and says, "Hail, full of grace." It's a salutation that is done as an act of veneration. This angel venerates our Blessed Mother. She could not have been addressed in a more honorable way or by a more honorable person. God has communicated a lot to his people up to this point in history of the Annunciation. But it's always a prophet who comes and says something. Prophets do things like confront people with sin, like Nathan does with King David. We see all kinds of prophets come. God didn't think a prophet was good enough. There had never been a prophet that was good enough to announce these tidings. This had to be entrusted to an angel, a being who is nothing but pure intellect, a spirit being, comes before the Blessed Mother and gives her this honor. You know, this message in and of itself, you know, what a stupendous thing to be said. that God was going to become a man, and through the Blessed Mother, this was going to happen. The people of Israel had looked upon or for this day for centuries upon century, and now this young girl, she is confronted with this angel who tells her that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. But Jewish thought up to this time hadn't been that God was going to become man. They just looked for someone whom God was going to send. And it's even greater, more stupendous news than that. God is going to become man. He is going to come down from heaven. He is going to clothe himself with flesh. There is no doubt, if you read the words of Scripture, that Jesus Christ is God. There can be no question. He is identified as the Son of the Most High. We're not talking about by adoption. We're talking about by nature. He's the Son of the Most High. He will be called the Son of God. He will come to save his people from their sins. Who is the only one that can save people from their sins? God. It is no doubt. It's kind of interesting that that's in three different parts also. Three different manifestations of the fact that this one Jesus Christ that is going to come and be born through the Blessed Virgin is God himself. And now, you can generally puff up. When I commend people on things, if I really commend them and I really think something they do, I always usually season it with that, a little downer of, I don't say this to puff you up, okay, because we are easily puffed up. How easily could a young girl have been puffed up by an angel showing up in her room and telling her that she was going to be the mother of God? That could puff you up, but how does our Blessed Mother react? With the utmost of humility. She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." We learn about the humility of our Blessed Mother when we see her reaction to this tremendously glorious salutation. The salutation, I mentioned before the Hail Mary, but then I mentioned the Angelus. If it's not your practice, I would highly commend it. It is almost as good as a rosary. The Angelus, I would actually say, and other commentators say also, with the exception of the Our Father, there are no more precious words that we can say. Because when we're doing the rosary, we are reciting the Hail Marys as sort of background music to our contemplation and meditation upon the mysteries, because it's the mysteries of the rosary, not the prayers that are being said through it, that are our attention. In the Angelus, there's something different going on. In the Angelus, it reminds us of the beginning of our redemption. You're going to heaven because of this. It reminds us of the beginning of our redemption and the role that Mary plays ongoing in that redemption. This is what the Angelus is all about. In the Angelus, you have three parts of the Angelus, most of us know. The Angelus, you have the angelic salutation itself, and then you have the consent of the Blessed Virgin Mary to that salutation, and then you have the result of her consent. When we say these three things in the Angelus, it should overwhelm us with our redemption and with the Blessed Mother's involvement ongoing in that redemption. This is a salute to Our Lady. And we say the Angelus, or whenever we say the Hail Mary just in and of itself, we should salute Our Lady. That's what it is, salutation, salute. We should salute Our Lady with the reverence that the angel gave her. Can you imagine mere human beings, sin cursed and fallen, denying our Blessed Mother the reverence from them that an angel saw fit to give her? It is almost overwhelming as to the depths of how evil that is to contend that, I don't say the Hail Mary, We don't say that prayer. Horrendous. We need to, every time we say the Hail Mary, say that salutation with the reverence that an angel gave her, because God saw fit to send him in obeisance. We have to reciprocate, because we're a whole lot lower than an angel. When we say it, we also should ask ourselves a question. When we see the three parts of the Angelus, the salutation, the consent of our Blessed Mother, and the result of that consent, we are addressed in a way by the same angel. Because the Holy Spirit, who sent the angel with God the Father, also is the one who indwells us by virtue of our baptism. And when the angel says, "Hail, full of grace," the Blessed Mother, there are two individuals that we worship them on their birthday. Our Blessed Mother and St. John the Baptist. Why is that? Because we know they both had the Holy Spirit in them before they were born. We have the Holy Spirit in us by the virtue of our baptism. When we say the Hail Mary, that's a salutation that has been given us to let us know that we too receive that salutation. It doesn't say hail full of grace, in my case anyway, but hail one who has been given graces, who continues to be given graces at the Eucharist and the confessional, at your baptism, confirmation, holy orders, matrimony, continue to be given graces. Hail, you have graces. And when somebody salutes you, you should respond. How should we respond? If we think of it in those terms, that angels are asking us a question, basically, after they give us the reverence, because they revere God on his throne in heaven. They revere him on the throne of your heart. Hail, you who have graces. What is your response? What was our Blessed Mother's response? Do you consent to this salutation as did the Blessed Mother? Do you consent in humility to what an angel asks you? Do you consent? This is an examination of your conscience, an examination of your own spirituality. Do you consent as she did? Or do you consent grudgingly? Or do you consent within the parameters that you will lay out? Or did you just say, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," and acquiesce to God's will, no matter what it may be in your life, okay, for bad or good? We always want to acquiesce to that good stuff. But boy, as soon as it gets bad, oh, we just can't be bending to that will. Do you consent like the Blessed Virgin did? That's a question you need to ask when you say the Hail Mary. And then you can answer that question if you do a little examination of conscience and think of what are the current results of your consent. The results of the Blessed Virgin Mary's consent, in our case, was our redemption. No Mary, no Jesus. No fiat, no salvation. This is what we have to understand. So we have to do some soul searching as to what are the results of our consent. Because we can sit back all day long and say, "Oh yeah, I consent just like the Virgin. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word," like I say in every Angelus three times a day. I say that, but what are the current results of your consent? What are the current results? How is your spiritual life? Do you have that peace which passes all understanding? Or are you overwhelmed by some circumstance of life? If you're overwhelmed by some circumstance of life, I would submit to you that we got to work on your consent. This is a matter of step back. "Oh, I haven't consented. Good. I got to beat myself up now and just you feel like a piece of trash." No. It's working on your consent to increase the depths of your consent, to increase the depths of your humility, to increase the depths of your embracing the will of God, no matter what it may be in your life. This is why we say the salutation. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us things by accident. We're given things to use them. This is one of the ways that we could use the angelic salutation, no matter how it may be manifest in our life, whether it be in the rosary, or an individual Hail Mary, or the Angelus. But if we do that soul searching, I'm almost positive that there could be some work done. And that's what our Catholic life is doing some work to conform ourselves more to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin through whom we have it. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.